Daf is Daf Mem Beis. We got yesterday to the bottom of Mem Alf Mem Beis. The Gemara is talking about the concept that Ein Safik Motzi Midei Vadai, that if there's a Vadai situation, a Safik cannot remove itself, remove the Vadai. So the Gemara explained, asks the question, really true, about Ein Safik Motzi Midei Vadai? V'atanya, doesn't the Braisa tell us? Amar Rav Yehuda, Maisa B'Shivchaso Shel Metik Echad. Rashi explains Metik is a Gavra Alama, a very strong person, an aggressive the Yisrael Havi, a Jew. So a Shivcha of this Jew. So Metik Echad B'Rimo, and the place that was took place was in Rimo. Shetila Nefil Abor. So a Nefil, she had buried a Nefil, a stillborn, in a pit. And a Kohen leaned over the pit, laid him Zachar in the Keva to find out whether the child was a boy or a girl, to indicate whether the Shivcha has to sit 7 days of Tumah or 14 days of Tumah. So now what happened was the Kohen leaned over. Now if there is a Nefil in there, the Nefil is Tumas Mace, and Tumas Mace is Tumas Ohel, and then it's going to be Metame the Kohen above. So the Chacham came along and they said there's no Nefil in there, because a Chuld or Bardless, one of these rodents, came along and ate and took away the child, this Nefil, so therefore the Kohen was Tahor. So now, before we get to the question, just interesting, look at Tosus for a second. Tosus writes, Ba, Koin Vihitit Bo, Osa Koin Shotaya, he's an idiot. How come he could lean over to the board to see if it was Tame or not? How it could be Metame Mace? Even to an own relative, if a relative, his own child, is a Nafil, he's not allowed to be Metame the Mace. Based on the pasuk in Amor. So only if it's a ben kayama, like his father and mother, that a kohen can be metame to, can he metame. But if it's his own child as a nefil, he can't be metame. Kavachomer to the nefil of a shivcha. So he's a shota. Fine. In the end, that was the ma'aseh shehaya, and they said that this kohen is tahor. So now the Gemara asks the question 4 lines down from Mem Beis and Aleph. Now the ha hacha devadai hitil nefil. So this Shivcha definitely had a stillborn. So definitely was a Nefil on the board. That's a case of Vanai. And it's a Safeg Garuhu, Safeg Lo Garu. But it's a doubt whether or not the rodents came along and took it away. Vikasi. And we could conclude from here that a Safeg is Motzi Midei Vadai. Vadai, there was a Nefil. Safeg, whether it's taken away. And they paskin the Safeg can undo a Vadai situation. So Gemara says, we have this Gemara many places in Shas, maybe 5, 6 places probably. Lo Tema Hitilu Nefil Abor. Don't say the situation is where it was a Vadai Nefil that fell to the boar. Ela Ema Hitila Kimin Nefil Abor. That she had given birth, something came out of her that seemed like a stillborn. It was unclear what it was. Vilha, so therefore it ends up being a Suffolk. It wasn't the case of a Vadai Nefil. It was a Suffolk Nefil. They couldn't really ascertain what exactly it was. And look at Rashi. Rashi first now line down says, Kimin Nefil Svek Svekahi. The Shema Lo Nefil Haya. Maybe it wasn't a Suffolk in the first place. And even if it was a Nefil, it was a Lo Nefil El Shapir Malay Ruach. And Suffolk too is whether or not it was taken away. Even if it was a Nefil, it may have been taken away by the Chulda, the Bardulus. So Gemara says, how could you say that's referring to a Suffolk Nefil? It says that the Kohen was going to check out whether it was a male or female, but that's assuming it was definitely a Nefil. It should have said in the Braisa, the Kohen was coming to see if it was a Nefil or not a Nefil, not to say if it was a Zachar or Nekeva. So the Gemara clarifies and says, Hachi Kamar, Leida im Ruach Epila im Nefil Hitila. Really what the Gemara meant to say was, first matter of business was to see whether it was a Nefil or not a Nefil. And number two is, Im Tim Talom of Mar Nefil. Then the second question would be, Hitila, Leida im Zachar om Nekeva. That's the understanding. And therefore, we still do have the principle of Ein Safek Motzi Midei Vadai. This is a case of a Safek and a Safek. So then the Gemara says, Ibai Seima, let's say you could say really it was Vadei Nefil. She definitely buried a stillborn in that area, but still this is not a kasha because Kevin Shechuldo Bardulus Mitsuyin Sham Vadei Garu, since there are rodents that are there, they certainly took away the child, end up being a Vadei case, and not a kasha for the concept of Ein Safek Motzei Midei Vadei.
So if you were to disinter a body and move it to another grave, there's no more tumor in the original grave?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. Assuming you take everything out, there's no...
About it, right?
Yeah, if there's no bones left...
Right,
sorry, yeah. Okay, so then the Gemara says, So now we're going back to the conversation of yesterday. Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. What happens if an avodah zara was nishbara me'ela? If it broke on its own, is that going to be batal me'ela and mutter or aser? Rabbi Yochanan says it's still aser, and Rabbi Shlakish says it's mutter. If it's shiver me'ela, if it breaks on its own, so the owner says, wait a second, if this idol can't protect himself, he's certainly not going to protect me. Reish Lakish said it would be mutter. So the Gemara asks the question, Esive, matza tapnis yad tapnis regel hare elaser mipnei shekayotze ben nevat. If you find a hand or a leg of a statue, it's aser. Amai, why is it aser? Hashvar minu, aren't they broken parts of an idol, and it should be mutter according to Reish Lakish? The Gemara answers, HaTargum HaShmuel. We saw yesterday's daf Shmuel says, Be'omdin al-Basisin, where they're still attached to the base, they're still part of people would worship it. It's not considered Shivrei, Tzlamim Shivrei Avodah Zarah. And even Reish Lakish would agree this hand or this leg would be aser. Asks Gemara another question. Eisivei Oved Kochavim, Mevatel Avodas Kochavim Shalov V'Shel Chavera. A non-Jew could come along, if there's an idol that's been worshipped either by himself or some other non-Jew, that non-Jew could be mevatel. He could say, this is no longer, he could break it up and destroy it, it's batel. But a Yid, a Yisrael, ain't a mevatel avodas kochavim shel avodas kochavim. A Yid is not able to break and mevatel an avodah zarah. So if he smashes an avodah zarah, it's not going to be batel. So amai, why not? It shouldn't be any worse than if an idol broke on its own, where Reish Lakish said it's going to be mutter. So certainly if someone came along and they broke the avodah zarah, it should be mutter as well. How come when a yid breaks an avodah zarah, it's still aser? So Amar Abai says, Shepachsa. We're talking about a particular case of Pachsa. Ain't a chanami, if he smashes the idols like Avram Avinu did to his father's idols, it would be mutter bana. Pachsa is the case that the Bryce is talking about here. If he does Pachsa, what's Pachsa? Rashi explains Shepachsa around 10 narrow lines down. Haka hika alaya Yisrael bepatish. He hits the statue with a hammer. Achinismaka tzrasa. And he makes like the image blunt. He just hits the stone. Avalo chisa klum. None of the stones fall off. You just make everything flat. You flatten it out. Hokach lo batom. But if he were to smash it into pieces, einachanami, Reish Lakish would say it would be mutter. So the Gemara says, "V'pichpachsa may have." And even if he does, what term do they use for this? You know, the article. All right. Even if they do pachs, even if they do make it flat without breaking any pieces off, may have. What is that really going to be effective? V'ha, is that really going to be aser still? V'ha tanan, our Mishnah tells us.
Same for the guy, because I guess this the corollary case for the guy we said is mevatel.
It will be mevatel. No, we'll see the question here. V'hatanan, the Mishnah tells us that, we'll see this in 10 days from today, pachsa, afa pishalach asra, batla. If you do make it pachsa, it will be batel. Sounds like you're going against the yid. If the yid does it, we said above the yid does pachsa, it's mutter. But this Mishnah says pachsa is actually batel. It would be mutter. Sorry, above we said pachsa is asr. Here we're saying pachsa would make it mutter. So the Gemara says, no, hani mile de pachsa over kochavim. When a Misha says pachsa works and makes it batel mutter, that's when a non-Jew smashes it or really flattens it. About pachsa Yisrael, for the Yisrael is one who's flattening the face of the statue, lo bala, that will not work. The only thing that works for a bittel of a yid is if he smashes it into pieces. So Rava Amar, Rava says, liolam ki pachsa Yisrael nami bala. He argues. And really, if a yid were to flatten it, it would also be batel. Ella, they made a gzeira for pachsa. Duma magbela v'hadim mevatelei v'avei avodos kochavim b'yad Yisrael. V'chavodos kochavim b'yad Yisrael ein abala liyom. So what's happening here is, if a yid were to flatten his own avodah zarah, that doesn't work. If he flattens a non-Jewish avodah zarah idol, it will work. But they were concerned that while he's flattening it, he might be zochet from hefker. Now he owns it. Now, once he owns it, then no longer does a flattening work. So, if that's owned by the non-Jew, flattening would work. So just look at Rashi to explain this. Rashi says, Dilma magbele v'kanile b'agba. While he's busy flattening out the statue of his neighbor, the non-Jew, he might pick it up and acquire it. And now, and the concept is, the chol davar hefker kagon mitzia nikneis b'agba. And he finds a statue lying on the ground. It's a person with miyayish on it. He picks it up, he acquires it now, b'agba, and he begins to flatten it. So that's going to still be mutter. It won't be, it'll still be asra. It's not batuk once he owns it. So again, to be clear, if a non-Jewish owned idol, if I go ahead and I start flattening it, pachsa actually works, it's batuk. if I own the idol, flattening doesn't work. So there's a chashash. If I find the statue in the street, if I start flattening it, I might do hagbah during the flattening, and hagbah is a kinyan. Now that I own it, though, flattening no longer works. I would have to smash it. So they said across the board, you should never do any flattening, even when it's permitted not to do it, lest I do flattening in a situation where it doesn't work, namely where I own the idol. So there's a fascinating discussion in the Rishonim here. How does that work? If avodah zarah, if an idol is actually usher bana, there's a machlokus whether you can be koneh davar iser davar that iser usher bana. So the Rambam holds you can acquire things that are usher bana. So this is not a shaila. So even though the avodah zarah is usher bana, I can do hagbah and acquire it. But according to the Ritva who holds, I cannot acquire a iser bana. So how in the world could the Yisrael ever be koneh this object? So the Ran explains that no, since if a non-Jew were to come ahead and be mevatel this avodah zarah, it would then make it mutter, davar heter, that I can acquire. So although right now I can acquire it because right now it's usser, since in theory I can acquire it, if the non-Jew is mevatel it, that's enough of a heter for me to acquire. So let's say, for example, Arla. Arla is usser forever. There's no way of undoing that isser, so Arla you can never acquire because that's usser ba'na. But since there's a way to be mevatel avodah zarah, there is a heter requiring it, and that's the situation here. The Ritva says differently. The Ritva says, "Ein hachanami, I can't acquire something that's aser bana." But since the situation by the non-Jew, by the Jew, he's able to add on an additional iser that wasn't present when the non-Jew owned it, that's enough of an acquisition. He's not going to own it really midin mamunas. He can't have a monetary claim on it. But the fact that by when the Jew owns it, it's now harder to do bittul, right? It's usher forever. That adds isser on top of it. That's what it means. He acquires it in terms of being mosif isser, and that would be the concern here. Let's go weiter now. Gemara says halfway down the Amud here. Esive akum shehevi avanim min hamarkulos. If a non-Jew brings some of these rocks, the Markulus was this type of avodah zarah. They'd make these mountains, these little piles of stones, and they throw the stones. So if he takes the stones from these avodah zarah, v'chipa behen drachem v'tartios, and he begins to use them to pave the streets, mutaros, that's considered mutter. That's a davar shebatal. V'yisrael shehevi avanim min hamarkulos, but a Jew who takes these stones, v'chipa behen drachem v'tartios, starts using them to pave the streets, asurus, those are going to be asur. So am I, why is it going to be aser? Teve kavodos kocham shenishbura me'alea. According to Reish Lakish, who says that a idol that breaks off on its own, it's mutter, so this is no different. If you use it to pave the roads, isn't that in essence breaking them? Why is that going to be aser? It should be mutter. It's again, avodah zarah shenishbura me'alea. And so Reish Lakish answers, hachanami kidirava. This also is like Rava, mainly it was a gzera. Mika din, it's permitted, but there was a gzera, they wanted to say, don't ever get hana from it, so there goes there in this case as well. We're going to see now a series of questions, and every answer we're going to give, kidirava, the same exact answer. The Tosis is bothered by this. Look at the small Tosis, dear Maschal, hachanami kidirava, tzarech in. The bechol hani vitikarile, my karile. Each question we ask, what was the chiddush? We know the answer. Just simply say, kidirava, kidirava, kidirava. Rava was goes in every single case. So why do they ask another seven questions here? And he leaves off as a tzarech in. Yaakov Emden says the situation here is that this was actually not all asked in the same base medrash all at the same time. This was a whole discussion. One took place in Pumbedisa, one was in Harda, one was in Surah. They all asked a similar question and gave the same answer, but the Gemara just took them together and just organized them in a row, but it wasn't a whole series of conversations in the same place at the same time. Okay. The Gemara now says, Eisive Oved kochavim sheshifa avodas kochavim letzarcho. So let's say a non-Jew takes an idol and starts shaving off the wooden idol and letzarcho for his own need. He wants some wood chips to use for himself, but he's not really doing it to beautify the statue. He's doing it for himself to get some wood chips. He v'shufuyeh mutar. The idol, the statue itself is mutter, and all the different wood chips are mutter as well. All of it's mutter. If it's letzarcho, if he's trying to make the avodah zarah look pretty, so then he asura, so then the idol is going to be asur, but shifuyah, the chips, the shavings are going to be mutarin. But if a Yisrael were to do all this, sheshifa avodas kochavim, if he were to shave off some of the wood of the outside of the statue, bein letzarcho, whether he wants the wood chips, whether he's doing it for the benefit of the avodah zarah itself, he vishufiyeha aser, and both the idol itself and all the shavings are all aser. So ask the Gemara again against Rav Shlakish. This should be the case of Rav Shlakish, where if an idol breaks off, it crumbles on its own, it's mutter. So shouldn't this be mutter as well? So Gemara says, Hachanami Kidrava, again the same answer as Rava. There's a concern that he might pick up the pieces and acquire it, and now he's acquired an Avodah Zarah, in which case he can't be Mavatal anymore. Next question. Esive. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shochik Vizora Laruach Motel Matil Yam. A person should take the Avodah Zarah, he should grind it up and he should throw it into the wind or throw it into the water. So Amrulo, Af he Nasa Zevel. That too doesn't really work, because what's going to happen is that the Avodah Zarah that you now ground up, it's going to turn to Zevel, manure which could be used for the property, for the field. So Ksivit says in the Pasuk, Lo Yidbach Biyadcha Mu'uma Menacherim. You shouldn't have anything to do with any outgrowths, any benefit from the Avodah Zarah. So am I, why is this going to be aser? It should be mutter. Teve, so why is it goodbye? Why does the Chacham say that's aser because it's not a zevel? Who cares if it's not a zevel? Isn't it teve kavodas kachavim shenishbra me'alev? Once you've ground it up into little pieces, into flour almost, so shouldn't that be mutter like Reish Lakish holds that avodah zara shenishbra me'alev is mutter? So again, Reish Lakish answers, hachanami kidirava, that there's a chashash that he might be konet, which would be problematic. So then the Gemara says, Esive Rabbi Yossi ben Yasiyon Omer Matzah Tzras Drakon. That's how you find a kli, and there's a picture of a snake. Rosh Chatuch, and the head is chopped off. Safek Oved Kochav Mechatcho. You're not sure if a non-Jew cut it off, which would then be a good bittel and mutter. But there's also Safek Yisoh Chatcho. Maybe a Yid cut it off, and it would be Aser. So the Gemara says, it would be mutter. If it's a case of a Safek, you could be Mekel. Rashi explains it's really a Svek Sveka. Because number one, Safek, look at Rashi, last in our line, mutter, the talinan ba'ovid kochavim, you assume it was a non-Jew, da Svek Sveka hi, b'shem alo nevin me'olam. Just because you see an image with a snake on it, firstly, you don't know if it was ever worshipped in the first place. And even if it was worshipped, there's a Safek whether the non-Jew cut it off. So Svek Sveka, we could assume this item with the head cut off, of the snake, is mutter. But let's say Vada Yisrael Chatzko, let's say you know for sure that a Jew were to cut off the head, that's going to be Aser. So again, asks the Gemara, Mai, why is it Aser? Teve Kavodas Kochavim Shenishbra Me'alea, which Reish Lakish said is Mutter. So answers the Gemara, Hachanami Kedrava, that there's a Chashash, he might be Konit Bagva, and therefore there goes there in all cases. Last question of the Amud.
Why is the Yisrael assumed to do Avodah Zarah if the Yisrael cut it?
No, we say if the Yid were the one to cut it off, so then he cannot be Mevatel. The Yid cannot be Mevatel. That's the din. Right above this, we said that a Yid cannot be Mevatel of Avodah Zarah, unless he breaks it. Gemara says, Esive, Rabbi Yossi Omer Aflo, Yirakos Biyomos HaGeshamim, Mivnesha Nevaya, No Sheres Aleihem. So let's say you have some vegetables growing below an Asherah tree. So Rashi explains, look at the last few Y lines, the top of the Y lines here, on the bottom, Aflo Yirakos Masnisin Katani Zorin Tachteh Shal Asherah. Let's say you grow below the Asherah tree, Yirakos Bimos HaGeshamim, vegetables in the rainy season, in the winter, Shatzel Kashalhem, that the shade isn't good. In the winter, you need as much sun as possible. So below the Asherah tree, below the leaves or branches, V'chein Tzel Ilan Kashalhem, the shade of the leaves, the shade of the tree, that's bad for the growing of the vegetables. V'ein nehena mimena, and the vegetables growing do not benefit from the tree. But if it's vegetables that are growing underneath a Asherah tree in the summer, where it does shatzel yofalan, where it's so hot, the shade is actually beneficial for its growth, nimtza nehena me'asherah. So the growth of the vegetables actually did benefit from the Asherah tree. So back to the Gemara now. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Aflo Yirakos Bimos HaGeshamim. Even though the Tanakhama thought in the rainy season you can eat those vegetables because that Asherah tree is detrimental to its growth, but in the summer you cannot eat it because the summer where the trees are beneficial, Rabbi Yossi says that you can never eat any vegetables grown below the Asherah tree. Why? Aflo Yirakos Bimos HaGeshamim Mipnei Shanavaya No Sheres Alem, because the leaves fall on top of it, they end up drying off and serving as manure, helping it grow. So even though the tail is kosher to the vegetables, but the falling leaves are beneficial for the growing of the vegetables. So the Gemara says, Amai, why is that usher? Teve kavodas kachavim shenishbra me'alea. When the leaves fall off, isn't that an avodah zara breaking off on its own? Isn't that a shera tree crumbling? And that should be mutter according to Reish Lakish. So Gemara says, you're right, in general, Avodah Zarah Shenishbar Me'aleha is Moter L'Filei Reish Lakish, but Shiny Hus, in this case of the falling leaves, D'Ikir Avodah Shkochavim Kayemes. The primary Avodah Zarah, the Asherah tree, is still standing. Here, little pieces of leaves fall off. The only time when Reish Lakish said, Avodah Zarah Shenishbar Me'aleha is Moter, if the entire idol, the entire statue, crumbled. But when the Ikir statue or the Ikir tree is standing, just little parts fall here and there, that's completely permitted. But the Gemara says, wait a second here. V'ha shipuyin, all the different shavings, the Ikir avodas chavim kayemes, the katani letzarcha, hi asura, the shipuyeha mutarin. We said above, let's say you had a wooden statue, and non-Jews start shaving off the outside. So if it was for the benefit of the actual idol, so he said the idol is still usur, but the shavings are mutar. But we're saying the shavings of an item where the ikar avodah zarah is still intact, even the shavings should be usur. The leaves are usur, because it comes from an Asherah tree, and the Asherah tree is still standing. So too the shavings should be usur, since the idol is still intact. The Gemara says, no, a different explanation. Rav Huna Breid of Yeshua Amar, Lefi She'ein Avodas Kochavim Batla Derech Gdilasa. Really, in the case of the wooden statue, when you shave off the shavings are actually mutter. The only reason why the leaves are still aser is because it came off Derech Gdilasa. Rashi explains, top of Membez Mebez, Derech Gdilasa, Zed Darcha Kol Hashana Lahashir Olin Shela Ulagada Acherim. That's the way trees grow. They grow leaves and they fall off. They grow back, they fall off. And that's normal, that's part of the natural growth, that's not considered bittul. Aval shapan, says Rashi, Ovid kochavim daitu lebatlan ula shlichan. When you're coming to shave them off, those pieces, his clear intention is to remove the state of avodah zarah from those shavings, and therefore those shavings are mutter, but the leaves, again, are part of the natural cycle of the tree, and going to still remain us. Gemara now says, four lines down, on membez and membez, esive. Esivei, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, Kain Shibarosh Ha'ilan. If there's a nest on top of a tree, an Asher Hektesh, the tree is a Hektesh. So Lacha is Lo Nenin Vlo Mo'ilim. Lo Nenin Vlo Mo'ilim means, Rashi explains, this is a very important one that comes up in throughout the Shas. There's an Isser Me'ilim Mederaisa. If you cannot get benefit from Me'ila, there's an Isser Deraisa. But sometimes there's an Isser Midirabanan. Rashi explains, Lo Nehenin Dasa Midirabanan. L'chadchila, you shouldn't get hana, you shouldn't derive hana. If you were, that would be an iser midrabanim. But let's say a person does get hana, lo mo'ilin imnena, lo mal midiraisa. It wasn't a violation of deraisa, you don't have to bring a carbon. So this is an iser midrabanim. We're going to explain what this all means. So a nest on top of a hektish tree, l'chadchila, you shouldn't get hana. If you do, it was at worst an iser midrabanim. But let's say there's a nest, berosha shel asherah, there's a nest on top of an asherah tree, yatiz bekana, you should try to throw something at the nest so the nest could fall off, and then you're allowed to use that nest for firewood, let's say. So the Gemara says, kathaka daitech, right now the habamin is, kagon sheshivra mimenu etim, v'kintzabahem. Right now the thought is that when that bird made the nest, it was using the wood from that particular asherah tree. So once you knock it down, the katani yatis bekana, you can knock it down the with some type of stick, and you could use it. So how could that be the case? So we see from here that's actually permitted. Reish Lakish says avodah zarah shenishbara me'elez mutter, because I've got a asherah nest on top of an asherah tree, and if I could somehow knock down that nest, I could get hana from it. Isn't that avodah zarah shenishbara me'elez? We see it's mutter. It's a kasha to Rabbi Yochanan. Yeah, from the nest. I'm going to use it to fuel my fire. I'll throw it into my fireplace, and it's going to light up the fire for me. So that's the hana. So the Gemara says, no, halcha b'maya askinan, here's the situation, kagon da'aisi etzim me'alma v'kintzabem. The birds got the nest from elsewhere. They didn't build the nest from this particular tree. They found some dry wood elsewhere and built together a nest. And that's why it's mutter. And dekanami, it's very precise the way you read the b'risa now. Dikatani, Gavi Hektesh, with respect to Hektesh, it says, Lo Nenin Vlo Mo'ilin, that nest you shouldn't get hana from. If you do, there's no Isser. Now, Iamris Bishlama, the Icy Eitzim Alma, that's if it came, the wood came from other trees, not from a Hektesh tree. It came from elsewhere, a completely mutter tree. So, Haini Dikatani, that's what it means, Gavi Hektesh, Lo Nenin Vlo Mo'ilin. Lo Nenin Midirbanan, there is no, there one shouldn't get hana. Because an Isser Midirabanam, but at the same time, Lo Mo'alin Midiraisa, there's no real Isser of the Halo Kaddishi, because this nest has taken from other trees. But Ella, if you assume, I amris, shenishbara etim mimenu, if the bird built a nest from the hektish tree wood itself, the kintabem made a nest, amai lamalin, hakadishi. How could you get hana from it? It'll be the evan. Why wouldn't there be, there should be an isim midiraisa if you're using the wood of the hektish tree? So it must be that the wood came from some other trees, and that's the whole situation. Mara says, midi iria, hacha, b'may b'gidulin, haban la'acher mikana skinen, b'kasavar ein me'ilam b'gidulin. He says, no, not a raya necessarily, because it's very possible that the bird took from the tree itself, from the actual hektesh tree. Now, if he took from the hektesh tree, shouldn't there be an isim me'ilam b'deraisa? It says, no. You made, I made this a tree hektesh, let's say, January. Now, after January, it started to grow and grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger. So all gidulim, all growths from hektesh don't have the din of hektesh. So in May, when the bird made the nest, those additional branches that it used grew after I already made it hektesh. Gidule hektesh is not hektesh. So although the ikka part of the tree is hektesh, all the new branches that grew afterward are not hektesh. And those are the trees, those are the branches that the bird used in order to make the nest. Fine. So therefore, when coming back to the Asherah tree, it's very possible that this bird built the nest from the Asherah tree, and when you knock it down, you're allowed to use it because Avodah Zarah Shenishbara Me'ela is actually going to be Mutarin. Fine. That's the first explanation. There is a Raya either way for that first explanation. Then comes along Rabbi Abo, and he quotes the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, a whole other approach here. Mayat is, we're not talking about knocking down the nest to use. Yatis be'afrokim. You're trying to get the birds out. You want to eat the birds. You want to catch the birds. You want to play with the birds, but nothing to do with the nest at all. And it's completely off topic for our conversation. It's talking about the afrokim, the small little birds. So Amar Le Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov says, and there's a machlokas whether Rabbi Yaakov is arguing Rabbi Abo or qualifying Rabbi Abo. Rabbi Yaakov says, the Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Tachlifa, Asvir Lacha. I'm going to explain to you be'afrokim kan v'kan mutarim be'beitim kan v'kan asum. He says, when it comes to the birds, small little chicks, so whether it's an Asherah tree, whether or not it's a hektish tree, those birds are certainly mutter. There's no violation. We'll look at Rashi in a second. But if they're betim, if they're eggs, so whether it's an Asherah tree, whether or not it's a tree of hektish, both cases will be usr. So if you look at Rashi, it's a little further down in Rashi from where we are in the Gemara, it says kan v'kan. It's around, I don't know, 20 lines up from the bottom or so. Kan v'kan, bein behektish, bein be'asherah, mutarim. These birds don't really need the tree. And therefore, the fact they're in the tree, they're not really benefiting from the tree at all, and therefore they're mutter. However, bebeitim kan v'kan aser shetzichel ilan. If the tree is not there, the eggs are going to just drop and smash. The gazer b'rabanan ka'al ilan asma. So we're viewing the eggs as almost part of the tree. The Ravid has an extreme formulation. The Ravid says, beitim are kigidule ilan. They're like as if they grew from the Asherah tree itself, from the hektesh tree itself. So since Afrochim in theory could fly away, they can move away, they don't really need the tree, they don't become aser, betoras asherah, betoras hektesh. But since the basim have no place to go, they can't be transported anywhere, it becomes part of the tree, and they're going to be aser. Amar Vashi, Vashi says, v'afrochim shetrich le'iman ki basim damum. But if the chicks are so little that they could only live with the help of the mother, then they're considered like basim and also almost attached to the tree itself, and therefore would be usher like beitzim themselves. Now halacha l'maisa, the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Avodah Zarah that a nest that's on top of an Asherah tree is actually going to be mutter because we assume that the bird built the nest from other trees. That's the assumption based on the Gemara here. The Ravid argues. Ravid says no. We actually assume that the bird built the nest from this particular Asherah tree, unless we know it came from elsewhere. So what's the Stam assumption? Do we assume that the bird's nest comes from the tree that it's building the nest on, or do we assume that it always builds from trees from elsewhere? Okay. Let's go weiter. Yomar now says a new Mishnah. Hamote, Kalim, Valeim, Tsuras Chama, Tsuras Levana, Tsuras Darkon, Yalichim Liyam HaMelech. Let's say you find a Kali on the floor, and there's an image of a sun, an image of a moon, an image of a snake. You should throw it into the Dead Sea and get rid of it. Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, it depends. Shal Mechubadim Asurin, Shal HaMuvuzim Mutarim. If it's on something that's honorable, a nice Kali, so then you assume it was used for Avodah Zarah. If it's on something disgusting, let's just say a toilet, for example, so then it would be considered a mutter. No one would make such an Avodah Zarah. Maybe a Baal Por, but outside Baal Por, it wouldn't be considered Avodah Zarah. Now, this is one of the Heterim, based on the following discussion in the Gemara, we're going to see there might be an issue having dolls. To own dolls could be very problematic, according to some poskim. One of the Heterim they say for owning dolls is that since people play dolls in the dirt and the mud and they get them all dirty, it's considered mevuzim, and therefore would be a davar heter. Not everyone likes that heter, but there's an interesting conversation whether Bizman Hazeh we shouldn't have dolls or not. What? Right, Mark, we make sure they throw play around in the mud.
What's the dark one?
It's a snake, type of snake. I don't know what, but an image of a snake. And I guess like in China, they have snakes all over the place, serpents or something like that probably. Dragons maybe even, I don't know. So Gemara says, Lameimra, is this to say, Dilahani hu depalchi lhu, lamidachwini lo? The three listed in the Mishnah were a sun, a moon, and a snake. Are these the only three images that people worship? No other images? Or many? The Braisa tells us otherwise. Hashochet, lushim yamim, a person shechs an animal for the sake of the waters, lushim naros for rivers, lushim midbar for the desert, lushim chama, the sun, lushim levana, the moon, lushim kochavim, mazalos, the stars, and the different zodiacs, lushim michal, saragada, lushim shil, shukatan, a small little string. Hare elu zivchei mesim. So you see, people will worship anything, not just the sun, a moon, and a snake, like the Mishnah mentions. How can the Mishnah only mention those three if they worship anything would create zivchei mesim? Avodah Zarah. So Amar Bai says as follows. Miflech lechol de meshkache palche. A person's willing to worship and bow to anything he can get his hands on. But meitzar upalche, to draw something and then to worship that image, only hani tlasa de chashivi tsarilei upalchilhu. Only the three mentioned in the mission of the sun, the moon, and the snake is considered something chashiv enough that person would draw an image and then worship that image. But lemidi achwini, any other image, lenoi ba'alma abdihu, a person makes simply to make it pretty, but that's it. But in terms of real objects, not jerum, but a real, the sun, the moon, the waters, the river, that it could be worshipped by anyone. Gemara now says a bit of a confusing brisa now. Man kit Rav Sheshes chumer measisa. Rav Sheshes was analyzing a brisa. The Tani ko mazalos mutar nechutz mi mazal chama. All mazalos are mutar ulavana except for the mazal chama, levana except for these, the sun and the moon. And we're going to explain what's going on in the brisa. The three stages in the brisa. Number two, chla partufin, all images of faces mutarin chutz mi parts of Adam. An animal's face is mutar except for the face of a man. And third stage is chalat suros, all images again, mutaros chutz mitzuros drakon, except for a snake. So what's going on in this brice here? Amar mar, kol ha-mazalos mutaron chutz mimazal chama levana. All different images in Shemaim are mutar, except for the image of the sun and the moon. Very halach l'maisa, by the way. Halach l'maiskin, what's the case here? Ilema ba'os, if it's referring to you can't make the image of a sun, you can't make the image of a moon, well, I ba'os kol mazalos mishari. If does that mean you can make other images? V'aksiv, doesn't it say in the pasuk Lo Sasun Nes Hashem Lo Sasun Kedmush Shimshay Hamisham Shim Lefanai Bamarom? You can't make any image up in Shemaim, whether it's a sun, a moon, a star, a planet, anything. You can't make any item, so that can't be talking about you can make anything. So Ella Pshita Bimotzi. This stage of the mission must be referring to if you find an item with an image on it, you could keep that item that you found, unless it's a image of a sun or an image of a moon. Like the Mishnah above says that Hamote Kalim Valeim Tsuras Chama Tsuras Levana Tsuras Drakom Yolichem Liyam HaMelech. Like our Mishnah above says, if you found a keli with an image of a sun or a moon, that's aser. All other images that you find in a kelim are mutter. So the first line of the brisa is it's a mote. Now even mote, if you're talking about the brisa when you find something, Eima Metziasa. The second stage of brisa is kol hapartufos, all different images of faces, mutar or mutter, chutz mi parts of Adam, except for the face, the human face. Now, even Motze, if we're talking about, if you find something, even parts of Adam, mi aser. Is it aser to keep a picture that someone else made? If I find an image of a man, I can't keep it, I can't have a picture on my wall? Vatan, the Mishnah says, hamotze kelim valeim, tsuras chama, Teres Levana, Teres Darkon, Yolichim Liyav HaMelech. Only those images are usher if you find them. However, Teres Drakon in parts of Adam Lo. If you find something with an image of a man, you can keep it. So you can't talk about the second stage, the Mitziah. In Mitziasa is a case of Motzi, El Pshita Be'osef. So now the Reish is a case of Mote. They say the Mitziasa is a case of Osef. You can't make an image of a man. Ukdrav Huna Bered of Yeshua. So then, the third problem is, now the first case is Mote, the second case is Ose, Iba Ose, we're saying the Mitzias is Ose, Ema Seifa. Look at the last stage of the Brisa, Kol Atzuros Mutaros Chutz Mitzuros Diakum. All images are permitted except for the image of a snake. Now if Iba Ose, if it's talking about Ose, Tzuros Diakum Miasa, you can't make an image of a snake? V'aksiv, the Pasuk says, Lo Sasun Iti Elo Heichasev El Heizav, don't make the things like me in gold and silver. Honey, says the Gemara, in Tzuros Diakum Lo. Only these things you can't make, things up in Shemayim. But a snake, you certainly can make. So, Ela, Pshita, Bemote, Masitom, Hemote, Ugitnan, Hemote, Kein, Balem, Tsuras, Chama, Resha, Chama. If you find it, you can't keep a snake, but you can actually make an image of a snake. And we'll just, two more lines here. Resha, Besefe, Bemote, Mitziasa, Beose, it's inconsistent what the case is talking about. Rabbi in Reish V'Seifa, Pemotzi, and Mitziasa V'Ose. So we'll finish tomorrow the rest of the discussion here. It's running late, but that's the Gemara. Okay? Shabbat, have a wonderful day. Let's...